You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
On today's episode, Liz and I chat about Drs. John and Julie Gottman's new book titled The 7-Day Love Prescription. Now, they offer some practical tips based on their studies of thousands of couples over several decades. Liz and I talk about some of these principles, including turning towards your mate, the power of many touches, asking open-ended questions to strengthen your love maps, and even training your brain to reign. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm psychologist Liz Hale, along with esteemed professor Dr. Dave Schramm. And together, we have dedicated our careers to bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. All right, dear Dave. Gosh, it's listeners, it's good to have you back to our program dedicated to helping you create the marriage of your dreams by simply making small and simple changes. We are powerful partners, Dave. And I think that might be the biggest surprise of those couples that come into marriage therapy is how powerful they are for better or for worse, right? We can heal or harm each other. Do you see that too?
Oh, absolutely. We have so much potential. And I would say it doesn't take much, Liz, right? To sway either way. It's the little things.
That's right. It's the small things for better or for worse, right? Mm-hmm. We can heal or harm each other. We just need help in revealing our blind spots. And that is what we're going to look at today. So Dave, let's encourage our friends and family to skip the marriage therapy just for right now and head straight over to a scientifically based resource on how to really thrive in marriage, written by, of course, Drs. John and Julie Gottman. It's called The 7-Day Love Prescription, written in 2023.
Liz,
love this book.
We love the Gottmans. We're big fans of the Gottman for many reasons. One is the science, the research behind what the Gottmans produce. And so a great resource that I highly recommend to all couples. Now, we know, Liz, right, more than ever before about the science, about what makes for healthy and happy relationships. There really is a science to love. So in Dr. John Gottman, he studied 3,000 couples in the famous, he calls it the Cialdus Love Lab. And he followed some as long as 20 years, while another like some 40,000 couples were studied prior to marriage family therapy. So we're talking, Liz, big time studies and research, and not just, you know, these little case studies here and there. We have millions of data points that were discovered, and it was determined that there are some universal factors that really can make or break a relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know, I find there is really this misconception out there that you really only need help with marriage if you're having problems, right? But how do we behave in other areas of our life, Dave, with everything from our careers, our own bodies, our cars? We're typically fairly proactive. We take our cars in for tune-ups and oil changes before they break down. I think we need to think about relationships the very same way.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this idea of this tune-up, right? And I wonder, though, Liz, for many couples, you know, they haven't had a tune-up. They haven't changed their marital oil, you know, for months, years, perhaps. And they may be going through a really rocky period. I think of many couples. I think all of us go through the ups and downs. But there may be some couples that are just wondering, am I too far gone, right? Is the window to turn things around, has it passed? Especially when problems feel really complicated or they're really deeply entrenched. Liz, I'm curious, honestly, about what have you seen in your practice?
Well, I can tell you this, in my practice and in the research, it's rare to encounter couples for whom it is truly too late. I think the only thing that really spells the end of a relationship, and that is for the couple to decide, I don't decide that, is if both partners have already thrown in the towel. When we change unhealthy patterns to healthy ones, we can really change our present and our future. I believe couples who are struggling the most actually make the most gains, Dave. And so in short, it's never too late to strengthen your relationship. And I think I'd add to, it's never too late to start to have a healthy relationship either, even if you're single. Never too early is what I meant to say. Never too early to start having a healthy relationship with self and with others. And usually it's never too late.
Yeah, I agree, Liz. And that's a great insight. That this is the book, The 7-Day Love Prescription. I would recommend it actually to singles, to couples. Married, doesn't matter how long you've been together. It has 7 chapters. Okay, so each one of these chapters, it introduces a new relationship building habit into your day every day for 1 week. So 7 days, 7 new habits, easy peasy, right? They're quick, they're enjoyable with no, you know, grand gestures, no long, hard, difficult, awkward conversations. And what if your partner is not nearly as enthusiastic as you are? You know what? You just tell them that the exercises, they're easy, that they're fun, they're simple, they're brief, they can be done in minutes. These ideas, Liz, really are about bringing more passion, more connection, more joy and love into your home and into your relationship.
You got it. And, you know, there is kind of a tipping point, too. You could also tell your partner that those who read this book and follow the principles actually report having a great sex life. And it's not necessarily about sex. So stay tuned. We'll tell you a little bit more. Let's just look for starters, David. Maybe the 4 favorites from our list of 7. All right. So what do you believe? Well, I think you already know because you've read the book. What's the biggest predictor of happiness, dear viewers and listeners? This might surprise some people. The biggest predictor of happiness is turning towards your mate, physically, literally turning towards them. And I think the best way to explain this is maybe through a demonstration, Dave. So kindly, you know, just look to the side and point if you don't mind, Dave. And your line is going to be, if you're okay with this, man, look at that gorgeous car. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to do this 3 times. And I'm going to demonstrate the different turning, the different turns, if you will. The first one is going to be turning away. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, here it goes. Oh, man, look at that amazing car.
Okay. Yeah, so that was turning.
Do you see that? Yeah. And there are those who can't say, you got to go, you know, the YouTube video has the video of Liz literally just kind of like, yeah, doing her nails finally, like turning away and really ignoring it. Okay. So here's the second one. Oh, man. Look at that.
That's turning away. Very good. Okay. And so here we go again. Okay, thank you.
Second one.
Turning again.
All right. Man, look at that amazing, gorgeous car.
Oh, gosh. Hush, Dave. Can't you see I'm trying to study here?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Turning against. Mm-hmm. So third one is the turning toward. This is the ideal.
Okay. There it is. Oh, man. Look at that amazing car.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That is really gorgeous. Wow. That's your favorite car.
Yeah, that is awesome. Wow. Someday.
And you know what? I could have even done just look at that. I could have just looked up and said, oh yeah, you're right. Isn't that beautiful? Even that can count as turning toward. How we react to each other's bids, as Gottman defines them, these bids for connection is the biggest predictor of happiness and relationship stability. Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, it is. Liz, it feels like such a simple thing, but so many couples, we don't get it. In fact, you know, I don't think any of us actually get it 100% of the time. We often don't recognize them. We don't see it as a bid. But even now, having a name for it, this bid for connection, and here at the Stronger Marriage Connection, that's what this is all about, is strengthening that connection. So none of us do it all, 100% of the time. But whether you turn towards a lot or a little, it really matters. Like this principle we're talking about really matters. And the Gottman's research following, I love this study. They followed 130 newlyweds for 6 years and they found out that those couples who stayed together, they're happy. They stayed together. They turn toward each other's bids a whopping 86% of the time. While couples, again, over 6 years who divorced turned toward each other's bids a third of the time, 33% of the time. Liz, in my mind, that's one of the biggest findings in research, like the biggest discrepancy. 86% of the time, the couples that get it and they see it, at opening, you know, reaching out to hold my hand or saying, hey, we should go check out this or a new store just opened up. Whatever they're excited about, you be excited about and you reflect it. It may not seem like much, it may not seem very little, but we're talking about the little things that make this, it really spilled the difference, Liz, between those who flourish and those who floundered.
That's well said. You know, I'm smiling, laughing a little bit because I think of being in the car with my husband, Ben, and he's driving typically. And all of a sudden, you know, I'll be kind of enjoying the view or looking at a text maybe. And all of a sudden, his hand will come in front of my face and he'll say, look over there, Liz. It's like, I don't even know what he's pointing to. But it really bothers him when I don't immediately look over there. He's so enthusiastic and excited about sharing, I don't know, something on the hill or a new home or something, a bird maybe, that I've noticed it kind of offends him because you missed it. It's like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to look for. So I've learned to try to do things a little bit different. I'm a little bit more now prepared. And so I immediately can kind of look and say, tell me what you're seeing. What is it? What should I find? And that has made such a difference for him. Feels heard. You know, it feels like, what's important to him is important to me. Again, just those little things making a big difference.
Yeah, that one really does. Okay, ready for the next one?
You bet. Let's go.
The question to ask that will give your marriage a boost, it's not how are you, but who are you? Okay, mm-hmm. So the number two is ask a big open-ended question. Okay. So he's talking about building love maps. He's talked about this in other books. It's such an important, again, simple little concept. It's really about deeply understanding your partner's world. This includes, it's their hopes, it's their dreams, it's their fears, their beliefs. Liz, this is their desires. It's really about asking open-ended questions. And they're so crucial, right, for creating and updating their love maps because they require this thoughtful and expansive responses. It encourages this back and forth of updating each other on their lives because we change. We change. It's not just a yeah or no answer. And you know, one of the best hacks actually, Liz, and I downloaded this app. It's a free app. It's the Gottman Card Deck. Okay. So it's
my
a free app on your phone.
Favorite app to share with
love couples. This. Yeah. And it's simple, right, Liz, because yeah. It's these 14 virtual stacks of cards that you'll see on your phone. And it helps you to ultimately to win in marriage is what we talk about. It has a key category and it asks your partner all kinds of questions. These open-ended questions from like, hey, how have you changed this past year? Or hey, what legacy do you hope our kids will take from this? From us and our relationship? What do we want to pass on? Or what are some unfulfilled things in your life? And so I love this because it generates conversation instead of going out to dinner and talking about the kids or work or money and all this, these stressful things. It's about updating each other on our lives. And he calls it these love maps.
Yeah, I like this. You know, I was thinking back to how we were saying how to encourage a less than willing spouse to read a book, right? Let's see, how would you want to take a guess, Dave? How many marriage books do you think my husband Ben has read over our lifetime of our marriage?
Oh, Ben. Probably hundreds. No, I'm just teasing. Probably, I don't know, a 10, a dozen, any?
Wouldn't that be something? I would dare say zero.
Is that right?
Maybe half a book because I asked him to read one before we got married. So I think he was a little more motivated.
Yeah, that's right. I think
But you know, here's the good news is that it's really okay with me. I'm the marriage therapist. I'm the one that's passionate. And it goes back to some of the things we've talked about here on Stronger Marriage Connection that even just one person can change the dance. Even one partner can change the dance in a marriage. And pretty soon our partner might start to mirror us. It just takes one being willing to have that leap of faith to doing things differently, like asking these sorts of questions, for instance. You know, sometimes a topic will come up also revealing that, again, we are night and day different as a couple. And the good news is we don't want to be the same. Just the other day, I was saying to this wife was complaining about her husband. she said to him, I want to apologize to you for being disrespectful when I can't remember even what it was. And he just said, well, thank you for that. And she was so bugged by his response. And I thought it was kind of a fine response because you know what? It's kind of his response. That's how he talks. That's who he is. And we're not trying to make him into her. What would have made the difference as we kind of filed down a little bit was him maybe reaching over and touching her. That would have conveyed even more of the message of, I really appreciate that. So just a little something, you know, there was a cute conversation in the book, actually between John and Julie, about these differences again. So she really wanted a cabin in the woods. And when she came home, this was in their early marriage, he said, absolutely not. I am not doing a cabin in the woods. And they actually went to marriage therapy over this and fired the marriage therapist. Wasn't very helpful, evidently. I hear that a lot lately. But it's really not the time to get furious. It's the time to get curious when our partner says, I'd like a cabin in the woods, or I'd like you to respond differently. I'd like you to change who you are. So they came up with this idea after they fired the therapist. They came home and they started to really, again, drill down a little bit. Like, okay, Julie, okay, John, regarding a cabin in the woods, what's your dream about this, Julie? And John, what's your nightmare about this? Dreams and nightmares. That became so influential that they actually took that to the love map and became part of their therapy with couples. So why do you want a cabin so badly, or fill in the blanks? And why are you so against getting a cabin so badly? And then take turns listening and really understanding, oh, so that's really what it was. And there was a lot to that. Julie grew up next to a forest and the trees really became her family. I mean, it was really her safe place when her home wasn't. And for John, you know, his parents were part of the Holocaust, and his dad would always say, never invest in a home because it can be taken away like that. So he didn't want a second home. But they learn so much from each other. There are often these big gaps in our love maps. And the more we fill in those maps, the more we're going to understand where our partner is coming from. So the mapping, good news, Dave, is it's never finished because we're always changing, right? It's a lifelong project of learning who we are and who our partner is. And that doesn't stay the same. I'll promise you one thing. If we can approach our partner with curiosity, we're going to never run out of fun, new, interesting facts about them. In the Love Lab, this approach to conflict, thinking about each other's dreams, created major breakthroughs 87% of the time, even for very distressed couples. So this curiosity of like, help me understand why this is so important. What's your dream? What's your nightmare? Isn't that cool?
Oh, I love it, Liz. I really do, because, and I heard the word understand. It's helping me to understand their world. And when you get curious, instead of getting defensive, if you disagree with something, you think that's so silly. Why would you ever do that? It's all about understanding, slowing down, having compassion, truly getting curious about, tell me reasons. Yeah. Why do you like this or that? And there's often a story behind that, a reason for that. So it's digging a little bit deeper than the cabin. It was, yeah. Oh, okay.
And when the light bulb goes on, it's like, oh, no wonder that's important to you.
Yes. Yes. And that understanding is really what that love map is about. Okay. You ready for this next one? How do we avoid the largest predictor of divorce, my friends? Okay, number three we're talking about is called train your brain to rain. Okay, so the number one predictor of divorce, Liz, is that Gottman has found is contempt. It's this pattern of negative thinking. It's this criticism about a partner. It's getting personal with this meanness, right? So it's things like, hey, you're mean, you're lazy, or you're fat, you're a slob, right? It impacts the mental and physical health of both partners. So if you are stuck in what they call negative sentiment override, do an all-out moratorium, I'm telling you, on criticism, ban all critical comments. We're talking about zero negativity. Catch yourself, right? Catch it, check it, change it. It was what I like to say when you're thinking about doing something, saying something critical. Our brain naturally looks for the negative. In fact, Liz, did you know this, that we're born with actually five times as many neurons or brain cells that are wired for threats and negativity for every one that is wired for positivity and opportunity. So we already have, we're looking to pick apart our partner. And instead of doing that, we need to be able to slow down and just, you know, leave some things left unsaid. I think that that honestly is, as a relationship tip, the happiest couples, maybe they leave one or two things left unsaid instead of picking apart, are slowing down and not letting the brain kind of run through our mouths, but really letting them go unsaid. Next, I like this: spy on each other. Watch each other like a hawk all day and notice, what are they doing right? Instead of looking to pick apart a partner, what are they doing right? Look for the good. Right? Is it maybe this, the small little things that they do that you find, you notice the good, find the good, reinforce the good. I noticed, or I appreciate. I think those are two magical phrases. So it takes this mental adjustment, doesn't it, Liz? This kind of, okay, a new way of mindset, because we get into these automatic habits, these ways of thinking, but we can change them. We can change them over time. Really, it's rewiring our brain. And we know from neuroscience that that's possible.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? This whole notion, I suppose, the brain is to keep us safe, right? Like there, everything is a big black or brown bear, whichever is more deadly. And yet it's our partner. It's not the enemy. But I think intimacy is the scariest thing we do, right? Absolutely. So because the more you know me, the more you may deem me broken and lovable and worthy. And it's just not going to go well. I just remember early in marriage, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, Dave and listeners, but I'd wake up in the morning, like with one eye open first, and I'd go, now what did Ben do last night or the day before? What did he do? I don't want him to get away with anything, right? I gotta set a precedent here. It's like, oh, good grief. That didn't go well in my marriage at all. I had to get rid of that policy really fast.
Yeah.
But it had something to do with setting up the safety and how things should go. I got this idea in my head and I'm a marriage therapist. But once I realized, like, oh boy, I wasn't safe creating things made a big difference when I could wake up happy with him, because I was so blessed to have him in my life.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this brief message.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
And we're back. Let's dive right in.
One of the very first questions we ask in marriage therapy is, why did you fall in love with your partner? And you really start to get partners thinking about those earlier days. There's a reason why you married this individual. And sometimes we forget. So reflecting on this question can be an amazing way to reset and regain some of that earlier perspective of really what's still true about your amazing partner. Reflecting on what you cherish about your mate and why no one on the planet could ever replace them is incredibly powerful. You double the impact of this powerful act by sharing with your partner what you do cherish about them. The capacity to admire your partner is like bulletproof armor for a marriage. Relationships and marriage require math. They're quantifiable. And I think what I love about John Gottman is that's what he was. He was a mathematician. I think that's why it was so good at the Love Lab and getting these million data points. But again, we need 20 times as much everyday positivity as there is negativity. So for every, you know, negative blurb, like on just kind of a regular good day, we need 20 positives. Every time I go to say that, I'm amazed. 1 to 20. It's 1 to 5 if we're in conflict. For every little upset and sharp word, we got to have the 5 positives of a compliment, sense of humor, a soft touch, an apology. Know that even the most fleeting of interactions, like a smile, a thank you, an encouraging phrase, like you were saying, a follow-up question or eye contact, are money in the emotional bank account. When we retain these squirrely human brains to scan for the positive instead of the negative, we reprogram those neurons to notice what's right instead of what's wrong. So from like you said, negative sentiment override to positive sentiment override, it's so key. So make it a top priority to hold in the front of your mind the things you love and admire about your partner. Not only things they do for you, but really who they are fundamentally.
Oh man, Liz, I love it. You know, one of the things I love that this reminds me of is when I go through my phone, phone's always with me. And sometimes instead of scrolling through media, I'll scroll through pictures and I'll just look back, you know, even years ago at my wife, Jamie, and I'll just scroll back and be like, oh man, I remember this or that trip or this. Oh, I remember when we did this. And it reminds me of like, I think, yes, I love this girl, man. I am just so head over heels for this girl. And it reminds me. So that part of that is reminding that when you feel, this is what Wally Goddard, one of our previous guests said, is that irritation is an invitation. So for me, it's an invitation to think, okay, remember the good things, the positive, this positive sentiment override, because man, you'll find whatever you're looking for. You've thinking negatively about this person. You'll think of all the reasons. That they bug you and all the negative things, but the same holds true for the positive. Okay.
I love that. I bet sometimes you'll send Jamie a one of those copies, right? Like, I remember this. I love this picture of us. That's adorable. Or I love this picture of you. Yeah. I get that from Ben sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. It's a powerful, just a little simple reminder, but a picture actually kind of triggers the same emotion that I experienced when we were at Disneyland, right? You can relive it and you have those same type of emotions that stir when you see those pictures. All right, Liz, the most powerful drug in marriage is not sex. It's actually touch. It's touch. And those are not necessarily the same things. And I love how the Gottmans talk about this. They talk about maximizing the magic of many touches. Many touches is what they're talking about here. They say, Liz, touch is like, it's like oxygen. You know, we can't survive really without it. We thrive on touch. And it doesn't have to be sexual touch all the time, right? Research suggests that people of all gender types who cuddle, for example, they cuddle often, they report having more satisfying long-term relationships without even accounting for a sexual connection. It's cuddling. About that cuddle. Yeah. It's the cuddle. It's the small, subtle touch.
Yes. Do you remember? I'm so sorry, but the professional cuddlers back in COVID, really started hearing about them. Yeah. Professional cuddlers, non-sexual. But yeah. Cuddling, just we crave that way. I think we're created that way.
Yes. And I would even add all animals. The most ones I'm thinking of, they're a little, I just saw recently a picture of this little litter of puppies, and they were just like snuggled of each other. Even newborns who feel that touch, the mother's touch, that they'll just put a finger in for these preemies or something, and they need that skin to skin touch. It's powerful. Touch is soothing. I've seen studies, Liz, where people, this kind of seems unethical, but they would administer small little electrical shocks, you know, to one person. And then they were able to hold the hand of their loved one as they administer the shock. And they felt like it wasn't as painful for those who are actually holding hands. So it connects us physically, emotionally. It's not an illusion that when your partner takes your hand, you feel more attuned to them. One of my favorite words the Gottmans use is this attunement, that you are actually part of their world. You're tuned in to them. So part of the magic behind this that they talk about is, and many listeners may be familiar with this neurochemical, it's called oxytocin. It's often called the love hormone or the snuggle hormone, but we need to put that in. We need to be able to make time for these magical mini touches. And the key here, Liz, is that every little bit adds up. It's a moment here or a moment there makes a difference. And I'm just going to let you know, Liz, as a man, my love language is touch. And you know what? I notice when my wife even brushes by, whether it's accident or intentional, she touches me on the shoulder. When she reaches out, touches my arm. Even, you know, we'll be at church or something sometime, and she'll just reach a little touch and sends a signal in my brain. And I notice any kind of touch. So they add up. It's like you can't get enough almost of these meaningful touches.
Mm-hmm. Wow. They are powerful. They really are. There was this darling, busy couple with three children. They came into therapy and had a really strong foundation, but they had zero time for each other. And I think many of our listeners and viewers can relate to that. Their lives have been split into two parallel lives, right? Sam was busy with his career, providing for the family. Susie was busy with the career of the home and the family. And the evenings, it was a sprint to get dinner made, get everyone bathed and in bed, and then the endless chores of bills, dishes, pets, laundering, and paperwork. They were exhausted. So their lackluster sex life wasn't necessarily the problem. They did miss each other, but they had just started, they stopped rather touching at all. So they went on this campaign of these many touches, many, I like that, little quick touches as they were running by each other. Like you were mentioning with Jamie, just this quick kiss or a tender squeeze, a hug, or whoever came in last at the end of the day. If they came in last, they would start to announce, I'm here. And everyone comes running, especially the partner who was already home. It was fun. It was funny. You know, the kiddos would get into it. They loved themselves even running in the door after school now saying, I'm here. But they especially loved it when their parents stood in the middle of all this chaos, giving each other this very long hug. So create as many moments of physical connection as possible. What you do is up to you, and any amount is good, but the more, the better if you're both on board.
Yeah, so important. There's all kinds of signs behind this. The electricity that's in our, it sends this, the little pulses and things that happen. I'm telling you, don't neglect touch in your relationship. Even if touch is not your love language, we need touch to survive and to thrive in our relationships. Okay, another big one. I love this, Liz. I'm a big fan of, and that's kissing. Kissing actually activates 5 out of 12 of our cranial nerves. Did you know that? And the science has looked at this, right? 10, 15 second, 20 second hugs release that oxytocin I talked about earlier into our bloodstream. So that touch is good. It's good for our bodies. It's good for our brains and our relationship, that relationship connection. So in the Love Lab, coming back to the Love Lab, the Gottmans, you know, where they studied the 3,000 couples that they were observed, those who were still married at least six years, later were the ones who leaned in and they touched each other affectionately while it was cooking, it was cleaning, just talking about the weather. They would sit down and just a hand on a hand or an arm. Now there's a German study. I love the research behind some of this. The German study discussed in the book, The Science of Kissing, found that men who kissed their wives goodbye in the morning live 5 years longer than men who don't. Isn't that fascinating?
Uh-huh.
What was really interesting, Liz, is that people were all over the map in terms of touch needs and touch anxiety, that, you know, wanting more than they were getting. But even when people reported that they weren't getting as much touch as they would like, their relationships improved just by seeing their partner make an effort to touch more. Because they say, hey, I feel noticed. I feel appreciated. I feel like you understand me, that I need this. I can't have leftovers from you. I need this. Even the subtle touches add up.
Ah, they do. And we are all just a little bit different, aren't we, in that touch category. Sometimes it's easier to touch our children than it is our partner. But you're right. The more effort is made, the more it's noticed. And we just feel like, again, it's kind of like, I'm not trying to change you into me, right? But just, do you notice me and do you hear what's really important to me? Yeah. Oh, I like that. You know, I think the most impressive study that Gottman found, and I would agree, he referred to the one done by Drs. Chrisanna Northrup, Dr. Pepper Schwarr, and Dr. James Witte about what is normal in modern love. We're talking about, right, how often to make love and what is the norm and what should we all be doing? Everyone's interested in that question. Volunteers from 23 countries responded to a survey with over 1,300 questions. I can't believe they got people to do that. But it was designed to answer that burning question about long-term relationships of sexual intimacy and how to keep it going throughout the years. But guess what? The couples reporting the most satisfying sex lives were not the couples incorporating unusual new sex positions, way to spice things up in the bedroom, nor were they the couple who reported more frequent lovemaking in general. Instead, what happened in the bedroom once couples slid between the sheets had very little to do with how satisfied they were with their sex lives. So you want to know the specific habits practiced by those happy, thriving relationships. Both partners reported they were satisfied sexually while they do certain things. I'll just give you a few bullet points here. They say, "I love you" every day, and they really mean it. They kiss passionately out of the blue for no reason at all. They give each other compliments. They cuddle often, as you might remember from our earlier part of this conversation. They've stayed good friends. They talk comfortably about their sex life. They have weekly romantic dates. They are physically affectionate, especially in public. They play and have fun together. They make sex a priority, not the last item on a long to-do list. So they're having sexual intimacy, but it's not about the sex. It's about what happens outside of sex that matters most. Now, also, Dave, as you and I know, touch can be, well, touchy, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to each other. Ask, what's your favorite way that I touch you? Are there ways that I touch or hug you that you don't like? Julie Gottman has been very open through the years about having experienced sexual assault. She doesn't like, therefore, being touched from behind or even be surprised by touch anywhere. So in their long marriage together, they have figured out ways around this. So when John's about ready to come in for a hug or a snuggle and he's not sure whether Julie spotted him, he says, "Incoming, here I come. In for this hug." And when Julie hears that, she's prepared. And yeah, his embrace then is usually always welcome.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And it's just understanding. He understands her world. And so he knows that, yeah, the incoming, that signal is his signal. Say, "Hey, yeah, I'm coming in. I'm coming in for touch." Oh, man. Clearly, then the 7-day love prescription book, it's a must read, right? With all the other books and materials written by Drs. Joan and Julie Gottman. Pick up a copy if you want to learn what to focus on the other 3 days of the week, right? We've only touched upon 4. And we've given you kind of a little head start. Okay, Liz, we've talked about a lot. I've loved this. I'm going to turn the table here by asking, I want to ask you the one crucial question we ask each one of our guests. All right, so today, after 33 years of being a marriage therapist, Liz, what do you believe is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
You know, what I have loved is how we've talked about healthy we consists of healthy me. And I'm only person in the relationship that can really guarantee how I show up, right? I am only in control of me. So I think when I can show up paramount with kindness, I think that is the key. I think it's kindness that makes a big difference overall. What about you, Dave? So here we are. We've been doing this podcast for a season and a half now, and you've been researching, teaching, and presenting for decades. What do you believe is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
Yeah, man, Liz, I agree. Like the healthy, you know, making sure you're in a healthy spot is fundamental. I love your kindness. I totally agree that kindness is key. I might add, this understanding their world, like slowing down, you know, that takes humility. I love the word compassion, as we've talked about, humility. And let me add gratitude. It's expressions of appreciation for the little things, of being thoughtful. I think that all those kind of things kind of wrapped up, this kindness, gratitude, I almost see as two sides of the same coin. When someone is kind, hopefully the other person's grateful and they recognize that. And that understanding each other's worlds. So for me, it's so hard. I can't like settle on one thing, but I totally agree. I think kindness could just change a marriage. Kindness, just slow down and be a little more kind, a little more gentle, more thoughtful, for sure.
And understanding. I think that's beautiful. So Dave, where can our listeners and viewers go and find out more about you? I don't want them to miss the opportunities to get to know more about you and all of your good work.
Oh, man. We have great resources on the strongermarriage.org on that website. That's the Utah Marriage Commission website. That's who we produce this podcast for. So you can see all kinds of resources there. I have a website. It's drdaveschramm.com, drdaveschramm.com, where I post all kinds of other things on there that listeners can check. I'm on social media and post all kinds of tips on positivity and happiness and marriage, parenting, those kinds of topics. Yep.
You do a great job on social media. I want to just commend you for that and acknowledge you. I also have a similar website, very creative, drlizhale.com.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. So yeah, if you want to find out more information about us and other things that we offer, check it out. We'll put those links in the show notes as well. What about a takeaway of the day? Liz, we always do this with our guests. What's your takeaway of the day from our discussion?
Yeah, I suppose the takeaway of the day is really cuddling matters. Cuddling matters. Those couples that cuddled the most reported the most satisfying sexual connection with their partners. I thought that was fascinating. It's not the sex, it's the cuddling, for starters. Yeah, what about you, Dave? What's your takeaway of the day from our time together talking about the 7-day love prescription?
Yeah, it's so much good stuff that they've crammed in this book, like decades of their research in here. I'm still a huge fan of their Bids for Connection. I call it holding up the emotional mirror. I think that they've talked about that in other work with parenting that they've done. And that's simply just reflecting when they hurt, you hurt. When they're happy, you're happy. Just walking around with this emotional mirror and reflect what you see. And it requires putting down the phone and turn off the TV and turning toward your partner, listening, paying attention. We've talked at other times, Liz, about love is no longer spelled T-I-M-E. I talk about how the greatest gift you can give your spouse partner is your attention. It's that lack of attention that leads to loss of connection. So that's my takeaway of the day, is that turning toward noticing those calls for connection, you know, those bids that Gottman talks about, I think are critical.
Every time that finger, right, or that hand points in front of me, like, look over there. Yep. It's that attending to that seems to make a big difference to my husband. So I see it. I see it up close and personal.
Yeah. Yep. What's important to them should be important to me. All right, Liz, it's been a fun time. Sure appreciate this great discussion. I hope, listeners, you've enjoyed it as well. And that will do it for us. We'll see you next time on the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast.
And remember, friends, it's the small and simple things that create a stronger marriage connection. Take care now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.